Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Welcome back in. This is the John Chuckery Show. Hanging out with you here as we're watching a little AEW Dynamite on this Wednesday evening. 404-741-0929. That is our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. Feel free to leave us a comment there and be a part of the show. Ask you to download your Radio.com app because, well, we know you're not spending as much time in the car as what you were, so the best way to catch the radio station when you're not in your vehicle, that would be through the Radio.com app. Download that. Put that on your device. Of course, we know you've got things like your smartphone. You've got your Alexa speakers. You have a tablet, right? You probably got a Swatch watch. You got a Coleco or, I don't know, an Intellivision or Atari 2600 or a boombox. Just put it on something that you have electronically to make sure you catch us anywhere on your go. Wow, there's Arn Anderson walking out with Cody Rhodes. Wonder when the last time Arn's done an interview is. Anyway, social media for the station is at 929 The Game, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. Of course, the best way to be a part of the show, follow myself. It's at JMCH316, at JMCH316, your water cooler talking points, 3 to 6 months in advance of anybody else that is out there. Of course, he is back in Midtown producing the show. Jarvis in the building at Jarvis D90. By the way, as I'm watching Double A, the real Double A, by the way, Arn coming to the ring. Can't thank him enough for being a part of the show last night. That was a lot of fun. Got a lot of great feedback about the interview. I know I had a lot of fun, and you know, I fully admit. Look, I'm not a journalist. I'm not trying to be partial on things like that. I'm a huge fan of Arn Anderson. I love the Horsemen. I love that original group and things like that. And, you know, that was a huge part of my youth, or my entertainment as a youth, is watching wrestling on Saturday mornings and watching primetime wrestling and the 605 and just all those shows, man. Just that was a big part of my TV viewing growing up. We didn't have a lot of cable. You know, I think, you know, I'm not the youngest guy, I'm not the oldest guy, but, you know, we didn't have a lot of cable options when I was growing up. You know, you had TBS and WOR and WGN, and that was about it. I mean, there weren't a whole lot of cable channels that you could really pick from. So it was always cool to be able to watch some wrestling going on out there. So thanks to Arn Anderson for all that. Our friend of the show, Alicia Roberts, going to join us in the next segment as well. So don't adjust your base levels. The city of Philadelphia had an announcement. By the way, there was some talk about the Falcons today, as early as today. We're potentially going to release their plans for tickets this year. Now, I've had a couple of teams kind of release their tickets, so we'll talk about this a little bit more tomorrow. But, you know, you saw where the University of Michigan said that while they're planning on having fans, there are going to be no season ticket sales. You know, the Pittsburgh Steelers have done something like that. You know, there's been some couple of teams here and there that have sort of announced their plans for all of this. And the Falcons are one of those teams that expected here to pretty quickly. Like I said, some people thought today might be the day, but very quickly here, announcing their plans for how they're going to do tickets. Now, earlier, the city of Philadelphia was talking about, officials in the city of Philadelphia were talking about the idea of, you know, having fans in you know, games and things like that. City Health Commissioner for Philadelphia, Thomas Fairley, remarked that the COVID-19 protocols for the major sports leagues, quote, look pretty good, but having spectators would not be safe. Quote, I do think that games could be played with the kind of safety precautions that they're proposing. This is through the Philadelphia Inquirer, by the way. I do not think that they can have spectators at those games. There's no way for them to be safe having a crowd there. I can't say what the plans are for the league, but from a safety perspective, they can play games but not have crowds. Now, it says that also, too, City Managing Director Brian Abernathy, who has actually resigned, also left very little wiggle room for the idea of crowds. Quote, the Eagles are still going to be allowed to play, although without crowds. Says while pointing to the deference sports leagues have given to state and local governments, NFL rules remind teams that local authorities have the ability to ban fans, so I don't expect any issues. Now, NFL league spokesman Brian McCarthy, when contacted by the Philadelphia, the Philadelphia Inquirer, said, we're gathering information on Philadelphia. Regardless of Philadelphia, there's no impact on other stadiums, McCarthy said. Decisions on the number of fans at stadiums will be determined on a market-by-market basis with guidance from public health experts and in accordance with local and state guidelines. McCarthy also claimed different standards in different stadiums will not be viewed by the league as a non-starter when it comes to leveling the competitive playing field. Quote, this is not a competitive equity consideration. Now, what does all of that mean? It's very simple. If the city of Philadelphia, maybe the city of San Francisco, maybe the city of Los Angeles, okay, if they decide to ban all fans in the stands, should the league just mandate that all the way around? Should the mandate be if one city can't have fans, nobody can have fans from a competitive standpoint? Well, you heard what the response was from the spokesman for the league, and I 1,000% agree with what he says out there. With all due respect, the world's not fair. You know, the world isn't fair. Economics aren't fair. Whatever. It's not fair. I don't think that the NFL, because Philadelphia or L.A. or San Francisco or if it was New York or whoever decide that they're not going to allow fans into the stadium, should punish if it's Atlanta or, I don't know, Tampa or New Orleans or Houston. You know, I do agree that that should be up to each individual municipality. And look, if the city of Philadelphia bans fans from the stands, I'll support that. You know, I'll support that. To me, the league should not be mandating one direction or the other. They should leave it up to the people that have boots on the ground. Now, that's not to say that the NFL certainly doesn't have a stance on this. Okay? I can 1,000% agree with you. I don't have to be an NFL insider or have my sources or have, you know, your hot takey to know the NFL wants fans in the stands. The NFL has tried to make it a point to make sure that they let everybody know that it's business as usual. Damn the torpedoes, here we come. Guns blazing, full steam ahead. They haven't changed anything. Listen, we're not far away from preseason. They still don't have a definite plan about what they want from preseason. Why? Because they want to wait as long as possible to make any determinations. Now, do you think the NFL wants Philadelphia, you know, will they allow Philadelphia to mandate because of safety and health concerns, no fans in the stands? Yes. But do you think for one second that they want to put the Philadelphia Eagles on TV in an empty stadium? Of course not. And by the way, I don't want Philadelphia. Here's what I don't want from Philadelphia, especially that town. I have no issue about Philadelphia guiding its own way. Okay? So if they decide no fans in the stands, I'll support that. Here's what I won't support. Zoom on the big Jumbotron. Let's have pumped in noise. Let's put fake cutout cardboards in the stands. We're zooming people on that. I don't want that nonsense. Okay? Miss me with that whole take on that. If you're going to have no fans in the stands, Just have no fans in the stands. Don't need the fake crowd noise. Don't need the phony Zoom people with their stupid flags waving, you know, on the Jumbotron. I don't need any of that. I'm a savvy enough football watcher that I can watch and appreciate the game without your Zooming going on. I have really become anti-Zoom at this point. Okay? Not even from like a work standpoint. I'm talking about this whole, let's get fans to Zoom. Screw that. I don't want to see you. Got it, Chachi? Booby? So don't Zoom me. Have the empty stadium. Let the game be played. That's fine. I'm 100% supportive of you if you want to do that. I'm supportive of if you want to have fans as long as you do it safely. Now, if it means that one team gets a competitive advantage because they have fans, which I don't know what that is, but let's say that there was. Too bad. Too bad. I'm sorry. I won't support the idea, though, of that because one city decides that it's not going to have fans, then that means the rest of the league gets punished. I don't buy into that. Everything in life is a merit reward system for things. You know? Not everybody who works, you know, even at Walmart, everybody has a tier with which they work. You know, you have this level and this level and this level and this level. Okay? That's just part of the gig. You know, it used to be in the old days in the NHL. Do you remember back in the old days of the NHL? You know, they used to be some of the teams had unique size rinks to them. Not every rink was uniform in size and things. Okay? We see it in soccer, right? In MLS. The you know, the Yankee Stadium field is not the same as everything else, right? Okay. Baseball stadiums are not the same everywhere. You know, Colorado is interesting because I think people talk about Colorado about the fact that, oh, man, the balls fly out everywhere. Do you also understand that Colorado has more than 10% more outfield space than any other major league stadium in baseball? They have a huge amount of actual outfield space by more than 10% to the next closest person. So, yeah, balls fly out of Colorado, but outfielders also have to cover more ground in that stadium than any other place in Major League Baseball. So everything's got, you know, the hill out in Houston. You know, there everything's got some advantages to it. And if that means crowds versus no crowds give you an advantage, and I don't even know what the specific advantage would be because, with all due respect, you're not going to have a throng of people. One is, stadiums are not going to operate at a very heavy capacity. Number two is, I'm not even convinced that people, by and large, are ready to just pack up the wagon and let's drag the family down to stadium, you know, bag of donuts and, you know, let's see what happens, you know, out there. I'm not convinced of that. Now, will there be tailgating and things like that? Yeah, I think most teams will probably go to no tailgating in team-designated lots. But in the satellite lots and things like that, you'll get your tailgating and you'll get all that kind of stuff, you know, with it. Why? Because sports fans are going to drink and people want to have fun, and I get all of that stuff. But, you know, I'm with the NFL. If you get a competitive advantage because of it and versus one city versus another, too bad. Sorry. I mean, that's part of the challenges of life. Everybody's in a unique situation within their town about what they're facing and what they're fighting and having stands in. Because I can 1,000% assure you, the NFL wants fans. They don't want to be playing in front of, you know, the Zoom thing was, you know, what they had to do for the draft and all that kind of stuff. But I promise you, the NFL has no desire whatsoever to be putting up Zoom fans on the Jumbotron, you know, as the way to simulate, or putting, you know, cut out cardboard people, or be like the Koreans and put the, you know, sex dolls, you know, blown up in the stands. Promise you, the NFL doesn't want any of that. Even if it's 25% capacity, the NFL wants real people in its stands. All right, when we get back, our friend of the show, Alicia Roberts from CBS 46, is going to join us. We get all the latest news. The president was in town today, too. I'm sure that blocked up traffic for miles on end. We'll talk to her next. It is the John Chuckwa Show, watching a little AEW Dynamite. Hey, there's Arn Anderson. Anybody in Atlanta talk to him later? Anyway, we'll be back. Sports Radio, Nights on the Game, and on the radio.com app. Back in on the John Chuckwa Show, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, hanging out with you on this Wednesday evening. 404-741-0929. That is, of course, our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. If you want to leave us a comment about anything we've been talking about this evening, as always, asking you to download the radio.com app. That's the quickest, easiest, coolest, hippest, best way to listen to the radio station when you're not in your vehicle. We know you want to listen to the radio station, so be sure to do it through the radio.com app. Social media at 929 The Game. Follow us on those platforms. Of course, our personal Twitter handles would be the way to best communicate with us and see all the latest going on. It's at JMCH316. He's at JarvisD90. Well, president in town, news in Atlanta over this last week or so about the mayor wanting to go back toward phase one and things like that. So as we do each and every Wednesday, we head out on the WadeFord.com hotline. We are joined by our friend of the show, Alicia Roberts. Of course, she is the anchor and reporter for CBS News 46. As always, follow her on her Twitter page. It's at @ARobertsCBS46. Alicia, as always, thanks for jumping on with us. Hope you're safe and well and doing great.
Yeah, hey, John. Good to be with you guys tonight.
Let's start, Alicia, with first, because it seemed like shocking that, like, on social media, the news and things like that would maybe not be accurate to some things. But, I kept reading about that the governor was going to sign a statewide mask mandate in place that would start tomorrow. So where are we officially? Obviously, the governor was busy today with Senator Loeffler and the president in town and things like that. I believe he did speak today. So where do we kind of stand as far as statewide in the idea of requiring masks?
Yeah, so late tonight, Governor Brian Kemp did extend Georgia's public health emergency declaration through the end of the month, so through July 31st. What's also interesting right now is in that latest order that the governor essentially suspended local mask requirements. So in recent days, cities including Atlanta, Doraville, College Park, Athens have all issued local citywide mask mandates. If this governor's order, reads true as it does, and it should trump any local ordinance, then essentially those local mask mandates would be null and void. So it seems to be a bit of a political struggle there. This all comes on the same day, too. Neighboring Alabama, Kay Ivey, the governor there, issued a mask mandate that goes into effect at 5 o'clock tomorrow night there, following Alabama's single largest day of COVID-19 deaths. And of course, right now, not too far away as well in Florida, now Miami is really the coronavirus epicenter. So some mixed messaging right now, potentially, from the governor to some of the local cities here in Georgia, and certainly the concern all around us is there, John. So, lots to take in there in terms of that information on how to best protect your family.
Yeah, and Alabama's going to get a chance to vote for a former Auburn coach now to be its senator as well. Crazy times in the state of Alabama. Alicia, the city of Atlanta, mask mandates aside and things like that, Mayor Bottoms has, for lack of a better term, try to re-implement phase one or go back to phase one. There's talk, too, about Savannah. I was reading some of the things about Savannah today that they have a lot of concerns, out there. How concerned, let's face it, Savannah, Atlanta, that's two of the biggest cities that this state has, and there's real concern within those cities about, going backward instead of going forward. How much concern is the governor having about watching maybe the two of the biggest cities in the state, not being on board with the idea of, hey, we're still open for business and everything's fine?
I would hope, and I haven't spoken to the governor personally, but I would hope that the governor and really everyone just has some pause, some concern. When you see those numbers, it's hard at some point in time to start ignoring them. I'll give you one number that was concerning to me as I was reporting on this today. 4,000 new cases reported in Georgia within the last 24 hours. And why that's concerning and why we initially had to, essentially quarantine as we did is because when you get these surges, if and when you need critical care, that becomes less available. And right now, 84% of the state's critical care beds are in use. So I'll repeat that number. 84% of the Georgia's critical care beds, meaning if you have to go to a hospital, potentially get on a ventilator, or go to an ICU, 84% of those beds are already in use. So when I see those numbers and I start to see those daily case numbers continuing to go up, my next thought is, okay, what if someone in my family gets sick and needs care at a hospital? Is there going to be a place for them? Is there going to be a machine to keep that person potentially alive? That's why we initially went into the quarantine phases as we did, to really, again, not stop the spread, but slow the spread. And I think when we're starting to see these numbers continue to go up, we have to get to that next logical step of, what if we do need additional care? Is there going to be enough resources to go around? And more those numbers are not looking good.
Alicia Roberts joining us here on the waitfor.com hotline. Anchor and reporter for CBS News 46, joining us for our weekly conversation here. Obviously, all the counties, too, have come up with their back-to-school plans. My daughter attends a school in Cherokee County, and they're not requiring masks out of students. It is optional. They also do have the option of online versus classroom training. You know, is the governor on board with allowing each, you know, county school district to decide what they want to do? I mean, you know, obviously you're talking about, you know, mask mandates and things like that, and the governor did see, you know, he said, you know, nothing would be enforceable from that standpoint. But is he comfortable with allowing county by county for them to decide their fate on return to school? Because I got news for you. Cherokee County starts August 3rd. It's coming up real quick here.
Yeah, time is not on our side right now as we're starting to see those COVID-19 numbers continue to creep up. And sometimes now in those bordering counties that typically weren't as hard hit in that first wave, if you will, although many experts say this is still part of the first wave. We haven't heard specifically from Governor Kemp as to whether or not he's going to block any counties from, for example, just using all virtual learning. Several already have. Atlanta Public Schools has, DeKalb, Clayton as well. We have heard the president threaten to potentially pull out funding for schools that use virtual learning only. I'm not sure if that will actually be. But again, I think it's concerning, and it's, you know, you have to think not only of the students that are there, but the immunity for the teachers, the staff, and then when those students go home, will they get, you know, their parents and the rest of their family sick? So it's not a one-size-fits-all solution. My heart goes out to the administrators right now that are making these tough decisions, because, you know, there's a risk to bringing children back to the classroom, and there's also a risk not, you know, so many students potentially falling behind, and the resources that it would really take to implement virtual learning, from getting the equipment out there, just making sure every student has, you know, an equal opportunity to learn. So it's a tough to say right now. It doesn't appear that the governor will be blocking any individual district's decision, but again, time not on our side. As you mentioned, August becoming the back to school deadline here, and that's just a few weeks away.
You know, Alicia, we were talking in the last segment about there were some rumors about maybe the Falcons releasing their plans for attendance and things like that at games, or, you know, it's coming pretty quickly that they're going to announce what they're going to do. And we were talking about the idea, you know, Philadelphia has kind of said they don't plan on having fans in the stadium according to city rules, but then they sort of backed off. But, you know, I mean, NFL, I think, is going to let city by city. I keep saying myself that I think even if you do open stadiums up and things like that to fans, whatever the percentage is, I've seen 25, mm-hmm. I've seen 40, I mean, depending on what's going on. Michigan today or yesterday announced that they're not going to have any season tickets this year. They're going to be first come, first serve. But do you think that in sporting events, that as much as we want sports back, do you think that even when they open up the stadiums, I'm not even saying for 75,000, but that people are going to be willing to gather in their little family groups and head down to Mercedes-Benz Stadium and want to watch Falcons football and things? I mean, I'm not a believer that that's really going to happen, that people are just going to naturally gravitate after the last several months of being beaten over the head of stay home, quarantine, this, that, and the other.
Yeah, I have to agree with you, especially as we look at the latest numbers here. Philadelphia, I was born and raised in Philadelphia. So, you know, it's one of the cities that's been very strict in reopening, very late to reopen indoor dining. Gyms, for example, are still closed there. So I can understand why they'd be conservative in that approach. I think you have to not only think of the fans, but think of all the, you know, the ticket takers, the seat ushers, the security that's there. You know, bringing fans back has lots of repercussions for those that are around the ballpark. And I'm just not sure that the risk is worth it at this point in time from the data that we're going to see. Again, I think this is a very fluid situation. Certainly the situation for COVID has escalated within our country within the last couple of weeks. It could get better. Right now, the data is suggesting that it's probably going to be better to err on the side of having no fans at this point in time.
Last thing, Alicia, what'd you think of the Braves' latest signing as Nick Markakis has decided to opt out for the season? The Braves go and get them a right fielder that in years past has actually tormented them pretty good as Yasiel Puig joins his team.
Yeah, he's been fun to watch over the years. When I saw that headline, it kind of excited me. I mean, again, big personality. He's a strong guy. You know, I think just keeping him controlled is going to be the name of the game. But I think it's a good thing. And he certainly has been electric on teams that he's played for before and has some postseason experience. So I'm excited. A little bit of depth there in the outfield for sure.
Hey, listen, for 1 year and only a 60-game schedule, try to catch lightning in a bottle and see what happens. I mean, Alicia, we want to parade down Peachtree at some point. Even if there's people in masks and shields and everything like that, we want a parade going down Peachtree for all of this. So you can follow
her
on Twitter.
It's anything is possible this season. You never know. So nothing out of the question.
Absolutely. That's what we're hoping for. At A. Roberts, CBS 46, of course, she is – anchor and reporter for CBS News 46, Alicia Roberts, joined us here on the WaitForIt.com hotline. Alicia, be well, my friend. Take care of yourself, and look forward to talking to you here real soon, probably next week at this time.
All right. Thanks, John. Stay well, everybody, as well.
You got it. When we come back, it will be time for What's Bugging Chuckery. Am I supposed to feel bad for the media? We'll talk about all of that next. It is the John Chuckery Show. Don't adjust your base. Sports Radio 910 The Game and on your radio.com app. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Welcome back to the John Chuckery Show. Hanging out with you on this dynamite Wednesday night. 404-741-0929. That, of course, is our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. Feel free to leave us a comment there. Of course, asking to download the radio.com app so you catch us on the go. Social media at 92 on the game. Give myself a follow at JMCH316. He's at JarvisD90. And now these guys, they got the revival having a beer in the ring with Kenny Omega, or as Jim Cornette calls him, Kenny Olivier. And it's just funny because, like, you know, what's old is trying to be new again. Wasn't there a wrestler that drank Miller Lights in the ring and would, you know, do the toast and all that kind of stuff? But I promise you, these guys ain't that guy. One guy's bald, but the, you know, well, they're all kind of balding, but they ain't that guy. So save the beer drink. There's only one guy who should be drinking beer in the ring. Okay, there's still to this day, I don't care how many more years we go into wrestling. There's only one guy. One there should be a law within wrestling promotions. Only one guy is allowed to go in the ring and drink beer for as long as he's alive. And even if, when he's not alive, there still should be nobody allowed to go drink beer in the ring except that guy. Sorry. I mean, I appreciate the revival. They're a pretty good tag team, and I like them. They, you know, obviously didn't get used at all in WWE, and now coming over to AEW and trying to, you know, they're huge fans of Arn and Tully. You know, they kind of modeled themselves after the Brainbusters and such, you know. But sorry, there's only one guy who should have a cooler of beer in the ring, drinking Miller Lights and doing toasts and stuff like that. There's some things that are just sacred, you know. I was reading something, and I've heard JR talk about this too, that there are a couple of moves in wrestling, and we'll get to What's Bugging Chuckery here in just a couple of minutes. There are a couple of moves in wrestling that are protected, and Jim has talked about that he does feel that Vince will always protect the stunner. What do I mean by that? Kevin Owens right now uses the stunner as his finishing maneuver. And the thought is, because a lot of these guys that do finishing maneuvers don't always get the pin. You know, in the old days, you know, Hogan would do the boot to the face, leg drop, 1, 2, 3, nobody kicked out of it, right? And I think the Ultimate Warrior was the first guy to kick out of the leg drop. You know, the rock bottom, you know, the Rock would do the rock bottom, and then he'd do the people's elbow, and that would be the finishing move, right? And there are guys that kick out of finishing moves, especially in today's wrestling. Guys will do a finishing move, and a guy will kick out of two, okay? But supposedly Vince has protected – Vince will always protect the stunner, meaning that whether it's Stone Cold Steve Austin or it's Kevin Owens or if somebody else decides to use the Stone Cold Stunner, because Kevin Owens uses it as his finishing move now because he's such a fan of Austin, and he went to Austin and asked him about using it, but – that Vince won't ruin that move. If Kevin Owens hits you with the Stone Cold Stunner, unless somebody comes in and breaks up the pin, you're going to get a three count out of that. That's one of those moves that will be protected. You know, it used to be in the old days, like Jake the Snake Roberts, man, he'd put that DDT on you, and that was it. It was done. You were pinned 1, 2, 3, and that was it. Now, the DDT is just like a spot in the middle of a match. You know, The Rock would use a DDT, you know, on guys, and it would just be like a spot. It wouldn't be a finishing move. But Jake the Snake mastered that. Arn Anderson did that too. I mean, he even admits, he said, yeah, I stole it from Jake the Snake Roberts. You know, the Spine Buster was his main finishing move, but he did use that face plant, DDT at times. But even he admitted, I stole it from Jake Roberts. But that was, you know, lights out in the old days. Now, that's just a spot. You know, guys, if somebody can do the Frankensteiner, the Frankensteiner by Scott Steiner was one of the greatest finishing moves of all time for its day. Like, we never seen a guy that big and strong just go up and do something crazy like that. And he'd go out there and put that move on somebody and just wow the fans. Now that's like, it's like another spot. It's like another spot, you know, out there. Guys even put the figure four leg lock on guys, and they still don't tap out for it. Now, I like the one that Charlotte does. Charlotte's got that one where she was the figure eight, where she puts the figure four, and then she puts her arms behind her, and she presses up in the air. So, like, you know, she's pushed up in the air, and you're up in the air with the figure four leg lock. I mean, she pretty much always, you know, when she puts that on you, you're pretty much done with that move. So I do like that. A finishing move in wrestling should be a finishing move in wrestling. If you put it on somebody, I don't care if it's the sharpshooter, scorpion, deathlock. I don't care if it's the figure four. I don't care if it's the stunner or the rock bottom or the pedigree. You know, like one of the best ones still, you know, in today's wrestling is the RKO. Randy Orton doing the RKO out of nowhere. It's still like one of the great. It's still like that may be the most over move. And when we say over, we mean that the most popular move in today's wrestling is Randy Orton's, you know, RKO, the RKO out of nowhere. When he puts the RKO on somebody, even though he's a bad guy, people still jump up and respond to that because he hits it. He can hit it on anybody. He hits you with it out of nowhere, and it still just gets a big pop. Even though he's a heel and he's a bad guy and everybody's rooting against him, just everybody loves it when he hits that RKO, which is basically, it's the diamond cutter, which is also a version of the stunner. So, again, what, you know, everybody steals from everybody when it comes to all sports things, right? All right, speaking of stealing, let's get to something that we call What's Bugging Chuckery.
Don't look now, but somebody out there just got Chuckery ticked off. Like, that's hard.
Don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
It's time for What's Bugging Chuckery on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
So I mentioned earlier in the show that Dan Patrick had the lead NBA writer for The Athletic, Josh Varden, on his show today. And first off, let's give a shout-out to Dan Patrick for being an avid listener of the show because he was talking with Josh about things that we were talking about a couple of months ago about LeBron and what this would mean and his legacy in the season and that people will try to take away, you know, credit from him for what he did and things like that. So appreciate Dan Patrick being a faithful listener to the John Chuckery Show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and giving him his talking points, you know, a few months in advance, you know, out there. But anyway, that aside, he was asking Josh about life in the bubble for the media. And there was also a couple of ESPN articles putting out the tweets of, you know, some of the reporters from inside the bubble Couple of podcasts were talking about life inside the bubble for the media. You know, and they were all kind of talking about, you know, I mean, it's not terrible, but, you know, they are kind of isolated and quarantined. When you first get down there, you had to quarantine, I think it was 7 or 10 days or something like that. They don't let you out of your room during your quarantine period, except the only time you can go out is, you know, when you go for your test, which I guess is every day. They do that nasal test. They stick that thing up your nose. And when they bring you your food. And then, of course, there's been all the talk about, you know, the food and the menu selection, you know, and the you know, conditions and stuff like that. You know, Josh was talking about on this podcast or this interview with Dan Patrick about, you know, this is more of a motel kind of feel. It's not like the Marriott or the Four Seasons. You know, it's, you know, you don't really have like hallways per se. Like when you walk outside, you walk, when you walk out of your door, you're like walking outside, right? Like an old school kind of motel, okay? You know, and because they're putting everybody inside this bubble. And you get some media pissing and moaning about, you know, the food, and everybody's got to put their picks out of, oh, yeah, this, that, and the other. And, yeah, I mean, you know, is it perfect? But, you know, this is the thing that cracks me up about all of this, okay? You got how many? 20 million people that have filed for unemployment over the last 8 weeks, 10 weeks, whatever it's been through all of this. You know, unemployment still hitting around, what, 12%, you know, unemployment. You know, it's like 3 or 4 times higher than what it was just even, you know, what, 5 months ago, 4 months ago, okay? Is the media looking for sympathy? Is that what this is? Like, you know, when you go on talking about the quality of your food and your conditions and we don't get a chance to go out and, you know, every once in a while we run into one of the players in the breakfast buffet room. I don't know. Is the media acts like they're looking for sympathy from us in this whole thing. Okay? Well, here's what I say about that, okay? If you want sympathy, look in the dictionary. It's right between the word shizot and syphilis, okay? That's where you can find sympathy. Go in the dictionary. Look up the word shiot and go look up the word syphilis, and you'll find it somewhere in between there. Because I get it. Some media trying to give you like a backstage look at this kind of stuff, and it's kind of interesting, okay? But boo frickety who if the food isn't what you expected, or the accommodations are what you expected, or you don't get to go out and run around and do the things that you did. I'm stuck in my room all day. Yeah, they're taking the quarantine crap serious. You know, you ham and eggers got 45 grand on the line for a year's worth of work. These guys, these owners, have 800 million on the line for this. And they don't want anyone or anything to screw it up. That's why they're being hard on these players that break quarantine or break the bubble protocols. They're going to punish them hard because they don't want to get derailed. The only way this works is to keep people safe, to be strict, to follow the guidelines so that they can get the games in and play. And by the way, if the players want to get paid, then they damn sure better stick to it too. But if I'm supposed to feel sorry for the, you know, news media because it's not a wide selection of food and they don't have a lot of say in what they get and it's not a lot of, you know, banquet, you know, fine gourmet meals, too bad. Go home. Go home. Nobody's putting a gun to your head and saying you have to be there. Guess what? It's America. You want freedom of choice? You got it. Oh, by the way, your freedom of choice does come with consequences, either intended or unintended at times. So, listen, if you're a reporter and you're stuck inside the bubble and life is so hard, resign. I'll even type the email out for you. I'll help you put it together. But in a time when 100-some-thousand people, 125,000 people have died, when Tens of millions of people are unemployed through this. You know, I don't want to hear about the quality of your meal or your room conditions or how much time you're having to spend inside your hotel room because they're mandating that you quarantine before you get a chance to go in the bubble to be able to talk to the players and such. Sorry. Too damn bad, boo-frickety-hoo. Go find sympathy in the dictionary. All right, when we come back, and that's what's bugging Chuckery, by the way. When we come back, it will be time for a Falcons flyover. We will get to all of the news about the Atlanta Falcons at the top of the hour here. It is the John Chuckery Show, Sports Radio 910 The Game, and on your radio.com app.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.